It is November 21st, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today we have the obituary for my mother, Marjorie Jane Lothian. It is published on John Lothian News, which costs considerably less than the Chicago Tribune. Though I get the Scottish blood from my father, it is hard not to be thrifty even when it comes to my mom, who was of German and Irish descent. Her maiden name was Nylands, which is Irish, and her mother's name was Langhoff, which is German. On Friday, I conducted an interview with CoinDesk Deputy Managing Editor Nick Baker. Nick is formerly of Bloomberg, but joined CoinDesk 3.5 months ago. He and one of his writers were the people who published the story about Alameda Research's balance sheet being mostly full of the FTT native token from FTX. This suggested a house of cards, which quickly collapsed. The interview is about his career and also about CoinDesk, including that story. You will notice a lot of crypto stories in JLN today. Of course, part of that is because of the FTX black hole, which is my name for the FTX implosion. FTX is an energy source that is going to keep on sucking other entities into its darkness. The other reason there are so many stories is that cryptocurrency trading has become a big thing, with Bloomberg reporting that in 2020, 2.3 million people told the IRS they were trading crypto. That was an increase of 149% from 2019. Of course, the pandemic helped, and stimulus money did not just go to meme stocks, but also crypto. Crypto was seeping into TradeFi, which is the term the hip crypto crowd gave for us aging boomers and others in the areas of traditional finance, as well as fintech companies that operate in finance. I hate labels. You might as well call me an old fogey as someone who works in TradeFi. Cargill named Brian Sykes as its new CEO to replace David McLennan. Bloomberg reported McLennan will become the executive chairman of the 157-year-old agricultural giant. McLennan guided Cargill to record profits the last 2 years, so Sykes should be sitting pretty with a company hitting on all cylinders. It's interesting to note that McLennan began his career as a runner on a futures trading floor, became a phone clerk, and eventually a risk manager. Those days are gone, and McLennan is one of the last of the old breed. Oil isn't the only thing that countries fight over. The Wall Street Journal has a story today about heavy fighting erupting in the Congo over minerals titled "Heaviest Fighting in Years Breaks Out in Congo as Rivals Seek Control of Minerals." The subheadline is "Clashes Erupt Between the Congolese Army and Rwanda-backed Militias as Trading for Control of Congo's Vast Mineral Riches Erupts Again." What are they fighting over? The Congo is home to some of the largest deposits of tantalum used in smartphones and personal computers. There is also tin, gold, and coltan in the region. As difficult a job as being the new CEO of FTX and sorting out the bankruptcy is, it does pay well. CoinDesk reports that John Ray is being paid $1,300 an hour for his work. For a standard 40-hour work week, that is $52,000 per week and a nifty $2.704 million per year. Chuck Mackey has published a final overall recap of FIA Expo 2022 following his day one and day two recaps of the last week. It's called News from Futures, FIA Expo 22 Recap, and contains a dozen final thoughts on the proceedings. You can read it with a link in today's newsletter, Sarah Rudolph reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's my mother's obituary. Marjorie Jane Lothian, October 9th, 1930 to November 15th, 2022. Marjorie Jane Nylands Lothian, 92, of Williams Bay, Wisconsin and Sarasota, Florida, and formerly of Glenview, Illinois, died November 15th, 2022. She was born in Janesville, Wisconsin on October 9th, 1930 to Arthur John and Elsie Emily Langhoff Nylands. Marge married David Rogers Lothian Sr. on August 4th, 1956 in Janesville, Wisconsin, and she and Dave had three children, Scott, John, and David Jr. You can read the entire obituary on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a video from our coverage from FIA Expo 2022. Clive Furness. The Contango Hedge is getting ready to go. JLN interviewed Contango CEO Clive Furness at FIA Expo 2022 about the innovative new way to hedge commodities that he recently released in a white paper to which he gave the moniker The Contango Hedge. To watch this video, go to johnlothiannews.com. We have sponsored content from our friends at Russell 2000. Russell 2000 Index Quarterly Chart Book. Russell 2000, the premier investable small-cap U.S. equity index. Explore our chart book, a complete interactive experience, market performance, IPOs, sectors, breakdown, risk characteristics. Click on the image in today's newsletter for more information. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Stephen Deal, crypto is the commoditization of populist anger, gambling, and crime. The software engineer has denounced crypto assets as vehicles for pure speculation, but his views have made him a target of harassment, including death threats. Cryptocurrency is a giant scam, although a complicated scam. So begins Stephen Deal's diatribe against the crypto industry. When he published it in June, Bitcoin and other crypto assets were trembling. Since then, the collapse of FTX, the second largest crypto exchange, has created a potentially existential crisis. Billions of dollars of customer assets seem to have been incinerated, along with FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried's status as an altruistic visionary. Is crypto all just a mirage? My comment, if you are a crypto skeptic, you will love Stephen Deal. Here's another story, this one from Fortune. The headline, scammers are targeting desperate FTX customers by pretending to be the DOJ and promising access to funds. FTX customers around the world no doubt regret their decision to sign on with the now bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange. Adding insult to injury, they're now the targets of scammers pretending to be the U.S. Department of Justice. Police in Singapore on Saturday warned about a website pretending to be hosted by the DOJ and supposedly helping FTX users recover their funds. The site instructs visitors to log in with their FTX username and password, and then claims they'll be able to withdraw the funds after paying legal fees. My comment. If the scammers have a white shirt and a tie, they are doing a decent job of impersonating someone from the DOJ. If not, then forget it. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Investors studied crypto for years, then missed FTX's red flags. Ontario teacher was an early booster of corporate governance. The pension fund will write its $95 million investment to zero. When Sam Bankman-Fried was all of 25 years old, he pitched his nascent crypto investment business to Silicon Valley investors, only for them to laugh at him and his acolytes over their lack of experience and knowledge of crypto. None of us has run a company before, and we'd like $100 million by next Tuesday, Bankman-Fried told David Rubenstein in August about the request. It was not a very compelling pitch for investors. My comment, there must have been a hockey game on when this decision was made and they were distracted, the Ontario teachers, that is. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. Cigars, booze, money. How a lobbying blitz made sports betting ubiquitous. The gambling industry and its allies got their way with lawmakers after showering them with donations, gifts, and dubious arguments. Representative John Barker, the cattle breeder, retired judge and chairman of one of the most powerful committees in the Kansas legislature, had a glass of 30-year-old Redbreast Irish whiskey in his hand and a Don Tomas cigar from Honduras in his mouth. Both had been passed to him as he entered a party a few blocks from the Senate Capitol. It was co-sponsored by lobbyists who had recently turned to Mr. Barker for help legalizing sports betting in Kansas. Quote, they keep a special bottle for me up there. They know I like it, he said of the lobbyists as he surveyed the crowded room. I'm in my element when I have a whiskey and a cigar. My comment. There are less expensive and destructive ways to release dopamine than gambling. Here's a story from The Guardian. BBC ignores World Cup opening ceremony in favor of Qatar criticism. When the Qatarian government decided to spend millions of pounds on a World Cup opening ceremony featuring Morgan Freeman, Jungkook from BTS, and hundreds of performers, it probably hoped it would be the moment when the global media finally focused on football rather than human rights. What it probably did not expect was that the BBC would ignore the entire event in favor of a broadcast criticizing the treatment of migrant workers, highlighting corruption at FIFA, and discussing the ban on homosexuality in Qatar. And that was just in the opening 2 minutes. My comment, yellow card on the BBC. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was remembering David Lerman from Salerno Funeral Home about the longtime CME Group executive who died a week ago. Our condolences to the family and friends. Second was FTX hammers more nails into crypto's coffin from Bloomberg. Third was, Is this the end game for crypto? An opinion piece from Paul Krugman in the New York Times. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, the headline, Europe's energy exchanges warn gas price cap to backfire on EU. Europlex sees security of supply at risk with EU proposal. Commission wants to present its regulation this week. Europe's leading energy exchanges warned that a planned cap on natural gas prices poses a serious threat to the region's security of supply and financial stability, and will do little to achieve its goal of lowering energy costs. The European Commission's plan to propose a limit on benchmark gas prices this week will probably have, quote, potentially irrevocable negative effects, unquote, on the functioning of the region's energy markets lasting well beyond the current crisis, the Association of European Energy Exchanges wrote in a joint letter. The Commission hasn't yet unveiled the exact parameters for the last resort mechanism. And then the next story is from the Wall Street Journal. FTX says top 50 creditors are owed $3.1 billion. FTX owes its 50 largest creditors about $3.1 billion, the failed cryptocurrency exchange said in a bankruptcy court filing Saturday. The filing didn't name the creditors, but it listed them as customers. Two creditors are each owed more than $200 million. FTX's lawyers have said in all there could be more than 1 million creditors across FTX's various entities. Also Saturday, a statement from John J. Ray, the company's new CEO, struck a slightly more optimistic tone about the possibility of recovering assets to repay those creditors. On Thursday, the veteran bankruptcy executive said he'd never seen anything as bad as FTX in 40 years in the restructuring business. And then finally, here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, crypto exchange tokens pose, quote, extreme risk, BOE's Cunliffe says. UK regulator decries exchanges using own tokens as collateral. DeFi has yet to prove it can effectively handle risk. Exchange-traded crypto tokens such as bankrupt FTX's group's FTT can pose extreme risk when accepted by their issuers as collateral, Bank of England Deputy Governor Sir John Cunliffe said. A firm accepting its own unbacked crypto asset as collateral for loans and margin payments, as there are indications may have happened with FTX, creates extreme wrong-way risk, i.e. when the exposure to a counterparty increases together with the risk of the counterparty's default, Cunliffe said in a speech on Monday. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.